Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. He's worthy of all praise. Amen. You know, I think I shared this with you a few weeks ago, but I'm gonna share it again because it seemed like there was a lot of things about prayer today and everything. And Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask you to have your way here today. I give you all praise, all glory, all honor. You alone are worthy of it all. We just lift and magnify you here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Pastor, can I say something?
Sure. Go right ahead.
Because you prayed in the name of Jesus. And we were singing today, Lord, we praise your name.
Uh-huh.
And I got to thinking about, I know we know this.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
He is, what is his nature? He's sanctified. He's the way maker.
I praise God for who I am, not who I was.
That's right. Amen.
He is Jehovah Jireh.
Amen.
He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord that heals.
Yes.
Amen. He is everything to us.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else got anything they want to say? Testimony thing, hear it again. And this grandfather, he was walking through the yard when he heard his granddaughter repeating the alphabet in a tone of a voice that sounded like a prayer. He asked her what she was doing, and the little girl explained, "I'm praying, but I can't think of the exact right words, so I'm just saying all the letters, and God will put them all together for me, because he knows what I'm thinking." And you know, that is so true. And I want you to know that as you've asked prayer about things today, he knows what you're thinking. He knows what his plans are. We don't catch him by surprise with anything. He knew what would happen with your son, Randy. Yeah, I'm going to use it. I'm getting some. He's the Lord. All right. The title to my sermon today is Little as Much. And Matthew 5:3 says this. And this is out of the Message Bible. It says, "You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope with less of you and more of God and his rule." And you know, sometimes God has to get us out of the way a little bit, you know. And, you know, I shared that testimony a little bit about when I first got saved, you know. It wasn't long after that I got laid off from a job that I'd had for 5 years, you know. And I didn't know why, but I just had an assurance that God was in control. He had already begun to give me scriptures about that he worked all things after the counsel of his own will. And, you know, when I left out of the company I was working for, it was Cincinnati Millicron back years ago. It was Cincinnati Milling Machine. And my mother she worked in another part of the plant. It was a pretty big company. And I had to wait for her after I got laid off until she got off so I could bring her home. And, you know, I don't know what it was, but I just felt the joy of the Lord in my heart, you know. And I went to the unemployment office, and they told me, they said, all the jobs that we've got lined up, they said, you're too skilled for them. You know, you wouldn't want them jobs. And I said, well, I need to go to work, you know. And I ended up taking a job that paid less than unemployment to go back to work. And when I took that job, you know, they wanted to start promoting me in that job. They wanted to send me to become a road repair man, you know, and they were going to send me to Des Plaines, Illinois to get trained in all this. And the guy showed me when he actually made the request to the main company. Well, they turned it down, you know, and I'm glad they did, because I would have had to travel all around and repair things, you know, for them and stuff like that. It was a machinery place. And I'm glad that they did. But it ended up where I believe, because I was honoring God, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I need a job that pays more than this job, because I was being paid $400 a month in this job. And, you know, it just wasn't even beginning to cover what we owed. And Margaret wasn't working, and the kids were real little kids, you know. Mark was just a baby. But, you know, sometimes even the times when you think, oh, Lord, what's going on? You know, God knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly what his plans for you are. He knows everything about it. And, you know, it ended up where I went and I applied at this one job. And my brother had called me and said he saw a advertisement, you know, in the yard for this machine tool company. And so I thought, well, I'll go up there and put in an application. I went up there and put in an application. And the guy who talked to me, he was kind of rough, you know. I mean, he wasn't very friendly, you know, and stuff. And he saw I had a New Testament in my pocket, in my shirt pocket. So he says to me, I see you got a Bible in your shirt pocket. I said, yeah. He says, you a Christian? I said, yeah. He says, well, I teach at my church and stuff. I said, oh, that's great, you know, and all this and that. He says, you know, he says, I looked at what you told me, you know, what your skills are and all this and that. And he said, you're the most skilled person that's come in here. And he says, so if you want the job, I'll give you the job. He says, but I just want you to know, and I was a real young Christian then, I just want you to know that if you ain't doing the right things, I'll be on you with both feet. And I went, whoa, is this what Christians are like? Well, anyway, I go home. I told him, I said, well, I'll probably take the job, you know. And I go home, and I was going to have to get a physical and stuff like that. I go home, and I get a phone call. Margaret says, some guy named Ray Haas called today and wanted to know if you needed a job. And I said, well, I don't know who that is. And she says, well, he said he'd call you back tonight. And I said, okay. And he called me back. And he says, I need a person who can run an internal grinder. And I said, well, yeah, I've got experience doing that, 5 years experience. And we talked, and he says, I've got, you know, the shop's got central air, and then back then, that was many, many years ago, no machine shops had central air hardly at all. He said, it's got central air. He said, you'll have your own parking space. And he says, and you're the only one that's going to do this job. You know, and it was a pretty good, it was reasonably sized company, but it was the largest manufacturer of drill heads in the world, see. It was a little big company, you know, is what it was. So I went down there and I talked to him, and he told me, he says, you know, he says, if you take the job, he says, you know, you don't have to worry. He says, you're the only one who can do this job. Nobody else can do it. And I said, well, okay. So I took the job. I worked there for 18 years. They ended up making me a supervisor after a while, because I knew how to do things that they didn't know how to do, because I'd worked at Millicron, which was a big company, and they taught you how to do everything. You were exposed to everything out there. So anyway, it ended up where where I worked there 18 years, and I was a supervisor, and you have to realize they got a union in. I'm just sharing this whole testimony with you because we don't have a lot of time for me to go into my actual sermon here today. And anyway, so I worked there 18 years, and over the time that I worked there, they tried to get a union in. And I didn't feel like I needed a union. I started in there at more money than what I was making at Milacron. But I had this one old guy that worked down the shop for me, and he was always coming up and telling me, he'd say, you need to kind of slow down. You need to slow down. I said, well, no, I'm just doing my job, you know. He says, well, you're making us look bad. And I said, but can't nobody make you look bad but yourself, you know. I said, I'm just doing my job. And he'd start telling me, well, it ain't right. He said, you should be making more money than what you're making. I said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, you know, you're doing a lot of work. And he said, you should be making more money. And I told him, I said, if I feel like after a while that they're not paying me enough, I said, I'll find another job, you know. Well, it ain't right, he said. Well, I started getting raises, and he'd been there for 25 years. Well, I passed him up. I started making more money in a year's time than he was making after 25 years. And he worked on the same line that I did, but he ran a different type of machine. Well, then he started coming around saying, it ain't right. I've been here 25 years, and you're making more money than me. And I told him, I said, well, buddy, I said, I'm sorry to tell you, I said, but, you know, maybe you need to work a little harder, and they might give you a little more money. I said, I don't know what to tell you. Well, anyway, you know, that just goes to show you how when God opens a door. And finally, one day I went to the guy that was my supervisor, and they were talking about making me a supervisor, you know, while I was still running the machine. And he says, I said to him, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah. I said, where did you get my name? I didn't have an application in here. And the funny thing about it is that was back when the Vietnam War was getting stopped, and all the machine tool businesses were really going downhill. I mean, they were just sinking into just about nothing because a lot of that was government built up, you know, making war implements and things that were going to end up being used in the war. But anyway, so, you know, he told me, and I had actually driven by that place two or three times and not stopped and put in an application because I thought, they're probably not hiring, because they didn't have any hiring signs out or anything like that. And here that was the place that called me. And I asked him, I said, can I ask you where you got my name from? Because I had no application in there or nothing when he called me. And he told me, he says, you put in an application at this one company, and he said, and I was talking to that guy, and he said, I really need to find somebody that's an internal grinder operator. And he says, I can't seem to find one. And the guy that was doing the job before me was 80 years old. You know, he'd been doing that job for a long, long time. So anyway, they gave him my name. And I can tell you, as having been a supervisor in a company, when somebody puts in an application, and this company where I had this application in was P&G. It was a P&G company and that did P&G work. And they didn't have grinders, you know, or anything. So I can tell you, as having been a supervisor, that when somebody would come in and fill out an application, they'd put stuff on their application that didn't apply to what you had, you would have a tendency to file it in the round file, the trash can, you know, because, you know, you didn't want all the paperwork laying around. So this guy had actually given him my name. So God was working even there. And then, you know, in the time when I worked there, there was a guy who ran the, who was could run that machine a little bit, and it was taking him 30 minutes to run one part. Well, when I came in there, I was running parts in 6 minutes. So they was making a ton of money off of me, you know. And you know, they started trying to promise me things and stuff, and they didn't fulfill their promises. But eventually, they did end up making me a supervisor. But in all of that situation, God worked on me more than you'd ever imagine. And there was an old guy there, was an evangelist. His name was Paul Taylor. And he actually ran the SAW back in my department. And later on, when I was a supervisor, I started having a Bible study in the back, because Paul would come up and he would talk to me when he got a chance, and he would ask me questions. And I'd think, you know, this guy had been an evangelist for years. He was a lot older than me. And I'd think, here he's asking me questions, you know. But any time that man would ask me a question, God would always start dealing with me about whatever he said to me and would just open things up. And a lot of the sermons that I've preached to you guys over the years were inspired by Paul asking me a question, because he'd ask me a question, and I'd say, well, I'll pray about that. And I'd go and I'd pray about it, and God would just open it up just right away. But anyway, what I wanted to tell you is that so many times we don't realize that Scripture says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, or the steps of a man are ordered of the Lord, not righteous. But I just want you to know that all of the things that happen in your life, even like with you over there, Frankie, the things like that, God's in control. He's totally in control, and you're good to say that and believe it, because he'll open up exactly where he wants you to be. And sometimes it's not always a pleasant thing, because, I mean, I had a lot of ups and downs in there, because guys didn't like it that I was as good as I was at what I did. And literally, I would run out of work on the ID grinder. And instead of going and hiding in the bathroom like most of them did, I'd go to my supervisor and I'd say, you know, hey, John, I said, I don't have anything to do. You got anything for me to do? And he'd say, well, not really. I'd say, well, maybe I'll just go home. Oh, no, we don't want you to go home. We don't want you to go home, he'd say. He'd say, you ever run a lathe before? I'd say, well, no. He'd say, well, come on, come over here, and I'll show you how to run a lathe. And I'd go over and run a lathe for a while until the grinding built back up. And next time I got slow on work, I'd go to him, I'd say, John, I'd say, you know, you got anything for me to do? Well, no. He'd say, you ever run a thread grinder before? I'd say, no. He'd say, come on, come over here. And he'd teach me how to run a thread grinder. And I got where I could run everything in that department after a while. And all them other guys would always just go and hide somewhere, you know. And, you know, it was kind of one of them situations where God worked it out to where when they finally did make me a supervisor, I knew how to do most of the stuff that was in that department, almost all of it. And the production in that department went way, way up, because instead of giving people jobs that they had to retool everything to run the job, I would group things together where they could pretty much stay with the tooling that they had on the machine, you know, not have to make a lot of changes. And the production went up just tremendously. And I had the supervisor, or the vice president of the company, come and talk to me different times. And he told me, he says, you're the best supervisor we've ever had in this company. And I just want to tell you, the only reason that I say that is because every day when I'd go in there, I would pray and say, Lord, let me do this job as unto you. And I'd say, and when I didn't know what to do, I would pray and say, God, I don't know what to do in this situation. And God inevitably would always let me know exactly what to do. And the reason I'm saying that is because a lot of times we have a tendency that we think, oh, you know, even if you're put in an awkward position, you know, if you just trust God, he'll get you through it. And I actually was doing one of the other guy's jobs, too, as a supervisor, because he wasn't doing his job. And finally, they weren't making it easy on me. When stuff came into the plant, you know, they weren't giving me the paperwork that matched up with the material that came in there. And I'd have to go back there and look at it and match it up with prints that I had, you know. And it was just crazy the way they were doing it. And finally, I said to the guy who was my supervisor, I said, you guys need to let me have that paperwork so that I can make it a lot quicker and faster. And finally, he said to me, he says, well, you know what? You've been doing Richard's job for 2 years now. He said, it's time for Richard to do his own job. He should be lining all this stuff up and then giving it to you after it's matched up with the jobs it's supposed to be with. But even in stuff like that, all of those things just made it where I was more valuable to the company. And when I left that company to go in with my brother, they told me, they said, Oscar, we had thought about shutting down this whole section and giving you all the work. And it literally would have been probably a few $1 million worth of work. But my brother wasn't geared enough to be able to do that, and he didn't want to make the investments that it would have took to be able to do that. And I knew he wasn't geared up enough to do that. So I basically told him, I said, I don't think we could handle that work. You know, it's too much, you know. And, you know, but I just want you to know that God has a way that whatever situation he's got you in, and I tell you, when me and Margaret, when I got laid off from Millicron, I think we had a couple hundred dollars in the bank, and that was it, you know. And what ends up happening a lot of times, God will let you get in positions where you think, oh, my God, what am I going to do next? But I tell you what, he's always there. He always meets you if you trust him. And he did always meet us. So anyway, that's all I had to share with you today, because I didn't have time to give you my sermon here today. So I just thought I'd just talk to you a little bit and give you a little bit of a testimony. And you know what? I don't care what you're doing in life, and even in school, no matter what you're doing, pray and ask God to help you in your situations, and he will. And tell him, I'm doing this as unto you. And when you tell him, I'm doing it as unto you, I'm going to tell you what, all of a sudden some supernatural things will happen. Because when I was in that supervisor's job, I had people in other departments who tried to work against me because they were saying I made them look bad, you know, because my department was running so smoothly. Well, it wasn't running smoothly because of me. It was running smoothly because of the Lord was helping me in everything I had to do. Even times when the supervisors above me should have been telling me things, they wouldn't tell me that a certain job was coming through that would be hot or something. And inevitably, I'd find out from someone else, not the person who should have told me, from someone else, a salesman or somebody would come out through the shop and he'd say, Oscar, he'd say, how you coming on my job? And I'd say, what job are you talking about? And he'd tell me, and he'd say, oh, this is really hot. It's got to be out of here by such and such time. I'd say, nobody told me, you know. But you know what? I'd always have it done on time. God always met me, always met me. And I tell you what, he will always meet you in any situation or circumstance if you'll just trust him. And if you'll acknowledge that you don't know all the answers and that you're not, I wasn't the smartest guy in there, but I tell you what, they thought I was because I had somebody smarter than me helping me a lot, you know. And they told me, they said, you're the best supervisor we've ever had in this company. That company had been in business for 100 years. And I thought, well, praise God. Lord, it's all you, you know. And it was all him, you know. But anyway, I just thought I'd share that little testimony with you. And I might share the sermon with you next week because I couldn't have got through it. Praise the Lord. But I appreciate the testimonies. I want you guys to speak up anytime that you've got anything you want to share, you know, because we need to be praying for Randy's son. And I had a smile when Randy said he was going to tell him, don't get too. I told him about my testimony about my mother before I got saved. I was riding to work with her every day, and my mother, she knew the Lord, buddy, and she was always talking about the Lord. And I wasn't saved at that time. And I was driving, and I'd scooch over closer to the door, and I'd be saying to myself, "Oh, I wish she wouldn't quit. Wish she'd quit saying this." And she'd always say to me, "Son, don't get too entangled with the world. Someday God's going to require some things of you." And I'd think, "Oh, I wish she wouldn't say that. I hate that when she says that." But you know what? She was exactly right. And I tell you, listen to your mothers. If your mother's still around, they're wise. They love you. And a lot of times they'll tell you stuff, and it's coming right from the heart of God, because that heart of God's right inside your mother too. Praise the Lord. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your words. They are truly spirit and life. I thank you for the testimonies we've heard here today. I thank you, Father, that you are our source. We look to you in all things. We trust you in all things. We hope in you in all things. Because if we trust in anything else, we're going to be very disappointed. But, Father, if we trust in you, you never, just like the sign says behind me, Jesus never fails. Thank you, Father. I ask you to bless Bobby and his family as they go forth, and you know, all of Janet's family. I ask you to just encourage their hearts, let them remember all the good times, and let them be an encouragement to their mother, because, you know, sometimes mothers put on the brave face, but they got a broken heart inside. And I just ask you to just bless Janet and bless the whole family. I give you all praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If anybody like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. Praise God.